Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Matthew in chapter 5. Continuing to endeavor to work our way through the book of Matthew. The title of our message this morning is Christians are savory and light. And I had the thought, and I have to ask myself as well as you all, are we savory and light? And now, however we may answer that now, when we're through this morning, we might have a different opinion of that. Our text this morning and scripture reading is verses 13 through 16. Just four verses. But they are, shall we say, packed, loaded, force. And we're just going to glean from them this morning. Verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The Lord Jesus Christ had just recently called some of his disciples. We looked at that a few weeks ago in chapter 4. And told them that he would make them fishers of men. We know from looking at chapter 4 that at that time, at this time, there would have been at least six of his disciples that he had called that would be his nucleus for his first church. He sits down with his disciples, and I believe that was his closest followers, those who were truly and sincere about following Jesus Christ, as one of the six, and I believe that the other six were present in the midst, even though it's evident that Jesus had not called them yet. But he proceeds in the verses before us to tell them that what he had designed for them. In fact, the whole Sermon on the Mount is about what his disciples ought to be. The manner of life that they ought to portray, to manifest, specifically in our text this morning, he tells them that they are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. But only as they manifested the characteristics that we saw in the last 2 weeks in verses 3 through 12. That is, as they are poor in spirit, as they are humble. It's not given in the natural man to be humble, to be full of humility. But he says, his children are. It is as they mourn over sin in their life. We would say over our imperfections, our sinfulness. As we mourn over sin in the world and as we mourn for lost souls, it ought to be a weeping on our part for those without Christ. It says that as they manifest the character of a quiet and meek spirit, quiet and gentle spirit. Again, these are not qualities that are found in the world. And all these qualities ought to be, all these characteristics ought to be in the child of God. As they truly hunger and thirst after righteousness, we desire the righteousness of God, and we desire to be fed and to be filled with the righteousness of God, and part of the reason why we're here this morning. And at times services really bless us, and we get filled and we go away rejoicing and content. But that hunger is still there, and so we keep coming back for time and time again. As we manifest a character that is full of compassion, full of mercy. We've been shown much mercy. And so any mercy that we can show to man is small compared to what God has shown us. We manifest a life, a heart in our life that has been cleansed, has been purified. We don't desire the lust and passions of the flesh, and therefore we're putting them behind us. We're crucifying them. We desire that righteousness of God. And we desire to see His face, because then we know that we'll be completely as He is. You see, for we shall see Him as He is. We manifest that we have peace. How do we manifest that we have peace? By being a peacemaker ourselves. And the greatest way that we can be a peacemaker is by the preaching of the gospel. By giving peace to those who know not peace. The only way they're going to know peace is to come in a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we're persecuted, when we're reviled, we're happy. We're happy in the midst of those persecutions, in the midst of that reviling. And we rejoice when it comes that we were counted worthy to suffer for His sake. In fact, all of His instructions in the Sermon on the Mount set forth principles that are necessary to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We're to be a different people. We've been called to it. So Jesus tells them, His disciples, you are the salt of the earth. Our first point. You are the salt of the earth. Certainly these might have been encouraging words to His disciples, especially when you consider the fact that He just told them that they would be persecuted, they would be reviled, just as the prophets who had gone on before them were persecuted and reviled. They would too. The prophets were the salt of the land of Canaan. But His disciples now are called to be the salt of the whole earth. Think about that. The prophets were just to a specific land, to a specific region, to a specific people. But His disciples now are called to be the salt of the whole earth. Turn with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 13. I want us to consider these two parables here. In Matthew 13 and verse 31. He said, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of..." I've got the wrong chapter. Excuse me. 13:31. "Another parable put He forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field." Just a small grain and just cast it out there. "Which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches there." You see, He said the kingdom of heaven is like that grain of mustard seed. It starts out small, but it grows into something big. You see. Verse 33. "Another parable spake He unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." Just a little bit of leaven, and she hid it in that great substance, and it leavened the whole meal. And that's what we are to be. We're to be a salt to the earth. We are, He said, the salt of the earth. The gospel is a salt. The Christian is a salt. Salt seasons. When it is used, it adds flavor to quite a large lump. Just a little bit of salt. When it's salt, it preserves. A little bit of salt preserves a large lump. It penetrates. That's the way you and I are to be. That's the way the Word of God is. We have the Word of God. It's salt. And it penetrates. It seasons and it preserves. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 tells us, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." See, it's penetrating. And we're to be. If you be as you should be, verses 3 through 12, set forth the characteristics that ought to be there in his children. What are you to be seasoned with? Might have been a question that the disciples asked. Well, what is our seasoning? What is our seasoning with? Grace. Grace. We've received grace. It seasons us. The Word of God seasons us. If you turn with me to the book of Colossians, Colossians chapter 4, and look with me at verse 6. Colossians 4, 6 said, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Let your speech be always with grace. What is grace? Well, grace is that which affords joy. It affords sweetness. It charms. It's a delight. That's what our speech is to be. It's to be a charm. It's to be delightful. It's to be that which brings joy and sweetness. Not that which cuts. In the book of Psalms, chapter 37, and in verse 30, we're told, "The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment." Now, that word judgment there is talking about right judgment, proper judgment. Judgment that is based upon grace, that is based upon the Word of God. See, wisdom and judgment. Chapter 3 of Colossians, in verse 16, we're told this: "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." You see, it's that which lends to edification, to the building up. We're to let the Word of God dwell in us richly. That is to be our seasoning. That is to be the salt. And when we have that, when we're doing that, when our speech, when our life is seasoned with grace, we have salt, then we are able to be to others a salt. We're to do good to all men. The book of Galatians, chapter 6, in verse 10, tells us that as we have opportunity, that is, as the occasion affords itself, we are to take advantage of every opportunity that comes our way to do good unto all men, especially the household of faith, he says. And we jump over the all men and say, to the household of faith. Right? But we're to do good to all men, especially the household of faith. You see, we're not to show partiality who we should do good to. We ought to do good to the household of faith, yes. But we ought to do good to all men, according to the Word of God. And let me ask you this morning, what better good can we do to one who is lost without the Lord Jesus Christ, who does not know Him as their Lord and Savior, than to preach the gospel of peace to them. Book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 15. Said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Do you know the gospel is good? Do you know the gospel preaches of good news? See, we're to preach the gospel of peace. And what great blessings we are to the world, to the whole earth, when we do that. Look at verse 18 of Romans 10, just a couple verses down from verse 15, after he said what he said about verse 8, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. In verse 18 he said, but I say, have they not heard? Yes! Verily, their sound, the word of those that preached the gospel of peace and told of glad tidings of good things, went into all the earth, and their words unto the end of the world. You see, that's what the gospel is designed to do. Go into all the earth, unto the ends of the world. What a great blessing. These, talked about in Romans here, went to a world lying in ignorance. A world lying in wickedness. A great heap of unsavory, putrefying stuff. But see, we have that, and we are to be that, which adds seasoning, which adds preservative to it. Then he implied here is how they, his disciples, must expect to be arranged. He said, you must not be inclined to be laid on a heap, to continue on in your own little clique. And that's where we're most comfortable, right? Right here. Inside these walls. Our own little group. Man, we love testifying about the Lord Jesus Christ. We love about teaching about the all things of the Word of God. Right here in our own little group, right? But that's not what he said to them. He said, you're the salt of the whole earth. Well, that means go. That means go. And so we've received. We've received the command to go. Now, you're the salt of the earth. As long as you be as you should be. In other words, as long as you have that seasoning, as long as you have that ability to preserve, which is manifested by the characteristics that we went through the last couple weeks in verses 3 through 12. But if you are not as you should be, what did he say? In verse 13. He said, then you are a salt that has lost its savor. It has lost its seasoning effect. It has lost its ability to preserve. Mark chapter 9 in comparison. Mark chapter 9 and verse 50. We're told this. Salt is good. You all like salt here? I know you do. We use it, don't we? Yeah. Salt is good. But if the salt has lost his saltness, what does it mean to lose the saltness? Well, if the salt's lost its saltness, it's lost its ability to season, and it's lost its ability to preserve. Wherewith will you season it? Wherewith will you season that which you intend to season? And how will the salt get its seasoning effect back? How will it get its preserving effect back? Have salt in yourselves. And have peace one with another. Have salt within yourselves. Don't lose the saltness. If you who should season others, that's us, as children of God, have lost our savor and have become unsavory, and you're in a sad condition. That's what he said in our text. You're in a sad condition. There's no remedy. That's what verse 13 implies to us. There's no remedy. If it's lost its savor, then it's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. You see, there's no remedy. Wherewith shall it be salted? Salt is a remedy for unsavory meat. But if the salt has lost its saltiness, there's no remedy. Think about that. There's no remedy for the earth. There's nothing. You have nothing to season and to preserve it with. If you've lost your saltness, if you've lost your savor, you can't even get it back. There's no remedy. You are, he said, unprofitable. It is therefore good for nothing, he said. What good is it? It has lost its savor and its ability to preserve. What good is it? I don't know that I've had salt that is years old sitting on the shelf. Years old. I mean years old. And I don't know of any salt that I've ever had that has lost its savoriness. That has lost its ability to season and to preserve. But if it did, well, I'd get rid of it. You would too. That's what our text says. A Christian that has lost his savor and ceases to be a preserver, what good is he?
Good.
good for nothing but to be cast out. That doesn't mean lose his salvation. He's talking about being cast out of the assembly. He's talking to his disciples. If the sorrow has lost its savor, if you have lost your savor, then you're to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. You're to be cast out of the church. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Dealing with sin in an individual's life in the church. He says in verse 4, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan, the one who's taken off in sin. He's lost his saltness. Deliver him unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh. That which he's going to suffer, being delivered outside and unto Satan, not going to be pleasant to the flesh. That the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. You see, he's still got salvation. But his flesh is going to be run through the mill. Verse 7 said, purge out therefore. Cast it out. Purify yourselves in so doing. Now look at verse 9. He says, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. For then must ye indeed go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company with any man that is called a brother, be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat, for what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away, cast out from among yourselves that wicked person. You see, he's lost his softness. He's lost his ability to season and to preserve. How? By being practicing sin. He's gone back into the ways of the world. He ceased to let the characteristics that are mentioned in verses 3 through 12 be manifested in his life. And he's manifesting a life of the world. And it is to be cast out and trodden under foot of men. Our text says. You see, that the flesh might be destroyed, but the spirit be saved in the day of our Lord. Then secondly, that was just dealing with one little verse. Now the second thing he deals with in three verses. Verses 14 through 16. He said, you are the light of the world. This is if we be as we should be. There again. How should we be? Verses 3 through 12 is the manifestation of what we should be. As such, as being light of the world. He tells them, you are illustrious and conspicuous. What does it mean to be illustrious and conspicuous? To be noticed. To be seen. Well, it's my nature to not want to be seen. I don't want no eyes on me. I don't want no special attention. That's not my nature. But as a child of God, we're to be seen. He said, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And Jerusalem was set on a hill, and the church first started where? Jesus started His first church, the Jerusalem. It was a city set on a hill, you see. And it's set on a hill, the whole world would be able to see it. If these characteristics are manifested in us, then we are a glorious display of the divine perfections. These characteristics that were listed in 3 through 12, if they be in us, then we're a light to the world. And they can see, they're going to take notice. They take notice that I'm different. They take notice that you're different. And if asked, they would say, well, if anyone has the Lord Jesus Christ, he does or she does. Because they've noticed and we're different. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 12 that He was the light of the world. And he that follows Me shall have the light of life. Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Then you have the light of life. And that light can't be hid. It will manifest that you are a follower of Jesus Christ. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, we're told, for ye were sometimes darkness. That is, in your past life, before being a child of God. Ye were in darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. You see, that's the way we're to be. We're the light of the world. They're to see us. They're to take notice of that great fact. The book of Philippians in chapter 2 and in verse 15, we read this, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. How bright are we shining? You see? And if we are as we should be, then we are as light of the world. We're intended to illuminate. Not only to give forth light, but to illuminate. In verse 15, it says, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. That candlestick is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And I have to say here that in keeping with the context, all that are in the house is the world. Ye are the light of the world. We're to be a light to the world. We're to give light to the world. We have the gospel of light. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're to let that light be seen in our lives, but then we're to let that light be heard with our mouth in the preaching of the Word. He said, we're going to be set up as lights. You see, these disciples, they had their candle lit. Shall we say, by the light of Christ. And they were not to be put under a bushel. They were not to be hid. They were not to be confined. Not just to the cities of Galilee, but they were to be sent into the whole world. And so He did send them. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel of light. Jesus Christ is the light. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel of light. It gives light unto them. And being so, we must shine as lights. Verse 16. Notice that. Let your light so shine. Let your light so shine before men. We're to let our light shine. What does that so shine mean? It means, the word so here means in this manner. In this manner. In what manner? Well, in the manner that you're the light of the world. In the manner of these characteristics that were outlined to us in verses 3 through 12. By having those characteristics and manifesting those characteristics, we are the light of the world, and we let our light so shine in that manner. You see. Well, consider two things. It's by the Word preached. What is the Word preached? Well, Mark chapter 1 verse 1, he said, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. There it is, folks. There's the beginning. There's the Word that we're to preach. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of light. In the book of Philippians, chapter 1, in verse 27, it says, only let your conversation, your citizenship, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. We're citizens of heaven. And our citizenship is to manifest that we are the children of the gospel of light. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Then secondly, it's to be done by our peculiar living. Philippians 1:27 touched on that. As it becometh the gospel of Christ. As it is suitable, as it is meet of those becoming the gospel of Jesus Christ. By our peculiar living. We're told in the book of Titus, chapter 2, in verse 14, that Jesus Christ gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. A peculiar people, a special people, a people that would be different from the world. And zealous. That is to be a zealot for good works. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 29. Verse 9 said, a peculiar people. That word peculiar there is a little bit different. The word peculiar in Titus 2:14 is, it goes to what we are. The word peculiar in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 goes to an action. You see, we're to, in action, be a different people than the people of the world. That we should show forth, manifest the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We're to show forth, manifest His praises, and that He has called us. He's called us out of that dark world and made us to be children of light. Your light, my light, is to shine. And it's to shine by our good works, as we've seen in our text in verse 16. That your good works may glorify God. 1 Peter, again, in chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. We're told, having your conversation, your manner of life, your behavior, honest. That word honest there goes to beautiful, being handsome and excellent. You see, our manner of life, our behavior is to be one of excellence. It's one to be that is beautiful and handsome among the Gentiles. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may still by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. You see, the end purpose to glorify God. That's the end purpose of us being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Is that by our good works and the word which we preach, that they might glorify God. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 says this: if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. You see, the emphasis there is God. God. We speak the word of God. We speak it with the ability that God gives. That God, in all things, may be full of it. Not me, not you, but that God might be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. You see, the sight of our good works, the manifestation of our good works will glorify God, and it will glorify God in all things. By furnishing them, the world, the Gentiles, with matter for praise and with motives to piety. Piety simply means a reverence and love for God and for the things of God. Shall we stand and have a song in closing, Brother Mike?